This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Raina Troy Hotline.
Alicia? Michael? What's going on?
We know you have takes. We have takes.
I'm actually surprised that your rant line, rave line, whatever, isn't completely full.
Why can't we just win a game?
Can I blame Michael Castillo for this?
Can I blame Bob Connolly for this?
Could I put on a zebra shirt and just go out there?
Scratch, claw, up against the wall.
Can't explain that what I'm feeling right now, guys.
I can't believe it.
Let's open up that rave line! Woohoo!
Oh, I can't believe USC has hired Lincoln Riley. Oh, yeah!
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Raider Troy Radio, episode 504, coming to you on Monday, September 18th. We are a quarter of the way through the USC football season and the college football season, so we're going to look back at the first quarter, all three games, I guess, somewhat, and talking about where USC stands right now, where the Pac-12 stands, and what looks to be an insane year for the conference, and all of that here on this episode, and take your questions. This is a question-first podcast, I think, so feel free to add in your questions if you're joining us live here on YouTube. As always, you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook and all of those places. You can find our podcast wherever you can find a podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you can find our podcast, we are there. Our email address is rainoftroy@fanside.com. Our phone number, 818-643-7227, Second Whisper and Show. I'm your host, Michael Castillo, journalist with my co-host here in the Rain of Troy studio in Los Angeles, Alicia D'Artola.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. We're back for an interesting episode. Like, we struggled to name this thing, so it's like the quarter season review thing. I don't know what the full name even means. We're just rolling with it.
I'm sort of like going with a quarter season review slash big picture look slash USC didn't play a game on Saturday, so we're talking about not games that USC was involved in.
Right.
It's a whole thing. That's a little long for a title, though.
We took last Wednesday off for the bye week since there was no preview episode, so we weren't going to take today off. We're not big slackers. Besides, we really didn't take Wednesday off because last Wednesday we had our members-only pod for the Rot Squad. We played a game of only Skinect, and God, it was fun. It was so fun because the British quiz show that you can find on BBC Two, of course. You know how difficult that quiz show is, and only Skinect, just about as difficult. It was fun to play with the robots and not getting a lot of things right, but it was a grand old time.
We want to have members come on and participate. We want member participation and to have somebody on to play the game show with us.
But I think we might scare people away.
I think we scared everybody away because it's not easy, but that's what's fun about it.
Yeah, it's not easy. I'm trying to think of something on the top of my head. That what was an example of a really hard one the other night that you can think of off the top of your head?
All of them.
I mean,
what was the one that lost, that totally lost my spirit?
Oh man, I'm pulling it up right now.
I feel like there was one that I leaned back and thought, I hate everything.
it was really difficult. I'm pulling it up here, to show you guys exactly what it looked like. If you're joining us on YouTube, you can see the visuals here in just a second. Where was it? Here we go. Here's one that'll really set the tone for what Only Skinect is like. Where we go? Stalling time.
To describe, Only Connect is a quiz show where the idea is to find the connections between four things. Generally, that's the idea. You're trying to find the connections between four things, but it's diabolically difficult. And Only Skinect is a USC-themed version of that.
Yes.
Where, for instance, in round one of Only Skinect, the first clue was 1995 Pop Warner winner.
Mm-hmm.
And you can sort of think about, well, what could possibly be connected to that? And obviously it's hard to get it on the first go. So you ask for the next one.
Yeah.
And the next one is 1925 All-American honoree. And now you're having to think of, well, who was the 1995 Pop Warner winner and who was the 1925 All-American?
Which I thought, this was the game that I made for you. I thought 1925 All-American honoree, you were definitely going to get Bryce Taylor, but it took you a minute.
Well, I got Bryce Taylor, but what does Bryce Taylor have to do with the Pop Warner winner that I don't know?
Yeah.
The 2016 Thorpe Award winner was the third clue, which is Adoree Jackson. But what does Adoree Jackson have to do with Bryce Taylor? And then 2005 Heisman winner is the fourth clue, and that's Reggie Bush. But what does Reggie Bush and Adoree Jackson and Bryce Taylor and an unnamed 1995 Pop Warner winner that I don't know, what do they have to do with any
I thought
of
it would
other?
Be easy. 1995 Pop Warner winner, Keyshawn Johnson. So you got Johnson, Taylor, Jackson, Bush.
And the connection is?
They're presidential Trojans. Like, it's not that hard. It's really not that hard. So, anyways, that's what you have to look forward to with Only Skinect. if you're a member of the Rot Squad and you haven't watched already, go watch the episode. It's up on demand on YouTube. If you're not a member, you can always become a member and then go watch that episode. You can become a member here on YouTube. For $4.99 a month, you get all of our bonus content and access to the Discord, where we get a bunch of questions from you guys. We talk to you guys all the time, especially on game days. But yeah, and then, you know, maybe participate in another version of Only Skinect again. So Richard in the chat says, hey, I got that one. See, it's not impossible. it's really not. So a lot of stuff coming up with Reign of Troy for you guys. Of course, Wednesday, we are going to preview USC and Arizona. And then we'll be back for another Thursday night after dark over on the members only side of things as well. But Alicia, USC is going to the road this week, the first road game of the season, and they're going to the Grand Canyon State. You know what you need to do when you go to the Grand Canyon State? You need to sign up for DraftKings. Because if you're a new user with DraftKings, you can receive $150 in bonus bets instantly after following just three steps. Create an account, deposit, and then wager $5 on any sport. Whether your first wager wins or loses, you'll still receive $150 in bonus bets. All you have to do is use the code RAINOFTROY, all one word, when you sign up. Best part is using that code Reign of Troy not only gets you the bonus, but it helps support this podcast, this very podcast right now. So if you're considering to sign up to DraftKings, when you go on the road to Arizona this week, definitely use our code Reign of Troy to maximize your first bets. This offer is available to new customers who are 21 plus and physically present in legally legal gambling states Like Arizona. Yes.
Like.
So please remember to always gamble responsibly and check the episode description for the full terms of the offer. As always, thank you to DraftKings for supporting us and supporting the show. But let's get into the news. We got a bunch of news to talk about going into and here in the middle of this bye week.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we got to start with the polls. USC, number 5 last week. Trojans moved up to number 5 in the polls last week. They stay at number 5 in the polls this week. Kind of an interesting sort of premise for the Trojans, staying at number 5 in the polls. It was a week in which there weren't that many big games, but a lot of teams... I won't say struggled. I mean, Florida State struggled.
Several teams struggled. There were several upset bids. Not many of the upset bids actually
landed. Yeah.
But there were definitely teams that were on the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
Far longer than we expected them to be on the ropes.
I feel like Washington and Oregon were kind of like the only teams that just completely cruised all week. Ohio State won big, but I think they were even struggling in the first half. It was a weird week. Florida State nearly lost to Boston College.
Florida State should have lost to Boston College. Well, yes. that was a weird game.
It was Texas, the red bandana game. You know how the red bandana game goes.
And that's exactly why.
At BC, you don't beat BC on red bandana night.
That's the way it is, man. Texas was in a dogfight with Wyoming. Like, if you look at the Texas score, 31-10, you would think that that was a sort of run-of-the-mill win. It was 10-10 going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a nervous one. Georgia-South Carolina was touch and go there for a minute for the Bulldogs.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, who else? Alabama at South Florida had all sorts of problems. Yeah. Tennessee lost to Florida.
Mm-hmm. Oregon State beat San Diego State, but not as easily as UCLA had dispatched them a week before.
Oregon State had to settle for a lot of field goals early and was in a little bit of a dangerous spot and then pulled away from it. So, yeah, I think it was one of those weeks that reminds you that nothing is ever a given. this is a good reminder for USC going into week four, where for good reason, people think there is that the result is a given, but you mm-hmm. literally never know. You cannot overlook any opponent in college football because you might get bit.
Yeah.
So it's a good reminder, but it's also very clear that the race in college football is wide open.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think there is any clear team that looks head and shoulders above everybody else. The way that after Florida State beat LSU, it felt like, oh man, Florida State, they have the most impressive win. And then Texas beating Alabama, it was like, well, they have the most impressive win. And those mm-hmm. and those are really, really teams.
And both those teams could have lost this week.
Absolutely. And, you know, Georgia, I think, will still roll through their SEC schedule, but it's not like Georgia won't have a scare here or there. It's not like Michigan is blazing through. Like, Michigan is in a weird spot because they've had easy matchups without Jim Harbaugh on the sidelines for them. And it's not that they've looked bad. It's not that they've looked shaky. They've just looked like, okay, they're, you know, fine.
Yeah.
So we still haven't necessarily seen Michigan get into high gear either.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen Ohio State get into high gear.
I mean, the SEC, apart from Georgia,
looks
relatively average. I mean, the best conference in the country right now is
unequivocally.
Sure, yes. I did go to college, I promise. It's the Pac-12, and we're going to talk about that more in our next segment here. We talk about the Pac-12 a little bit more closely, but you look at the SEC. LSU has the loss to Florida State. Alabama has struggled both of the last 2 weeks. Tennessee just got sort of the doors blown off at Florida in the first half, and then the second half, Florida was like, we're just going to parachute to the rest of the way in, and the second half was weird. But I don't think anyone looks like they're going to threaten Georgia in the SEC, which is probably good for the Pac-12 because, hey, that means that it's a year in which maybe the Pac-12 could get two teams if there's only going to be one SEC team. Who knows? We will see. I want to give a big thank you to Alex in the chat with the old super chat. Alex, a big supporter of the podcast, right along with DraftKings, of course.
Appreciate you, Alex, coming in here with super chats all the time.
Number one rap bot.
Definitely number one in the rankings at the moment.
Yeah.
But really, I think the thing that you come away with is any team could be number one right now. I think that when you look at it, Georgia and Michigan are 1-2 because of what we expect them to be this season, and
yes.
They haven't, taken us off of that expectation. Although, as Greg points out in the chat, JJ McCarthy threw 3 interceptions versus Bowling Green, so like vulnerabilities might be there.
Mm-hmm.
Texas and Florida State are 3-4 because they have the most impressive wins so far this season, and that's a scheduling quirk. Very impressive wins for both of those teams. Deserving to be up there. Either of them could make the argument that they deserve to be ranked over anybody else in the country based on the wins that they have.
Based on a resume ranking.
Based on a resume ranking. I think teams like USC, Washington, Notre Dame have been so impressive
mm-hmm.
against
nobody.
Admittedly, nobodies.
Yeah.
But they have been incredibly impressive doing it, and that's why they're ranked up there.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at a pretty wide open field here, and I think USC has the opportunity in the next few weeks to really prove that they're going to be in the conversation for the number one team in the country before long, if they can make it through take care of business against ASU, and then the rest of the schedule opens up to be a bit of a murderer's row for USC. But getting through that, when you have teams like Washington and Notre Dame and Oregon and Utah, coincidentally 8, 9, 10, and 11 in the rankings, all coming up, like, you have plenty of opportunities to put some very, very quality wins on the board. Not just quality wins in the sense that we, as people on the West Coast who understand that the Pac-12 has quality teams in it, will say that is a quality win.
Right.
But quality wins that everyone in the country understands are quality wins because Washington, Notre Dame, Oregon, Utah,
mm-hmm.
Oregon State isn't going to be a quality win for USC because they don't play. Washington State's not going to be one for USC because they don't play. But when Washington and Oregon play those teams, it will be taken into account that those are good teams, and that'll the whole conference, the whole schedule starts to lift. So,
yeah.
And it's intriguing.
Really, I think this week we're going to get a lot more data points.
This week is...
I can't
is
wait.
It.
I can't
I'm
wait
so
for this week. At 12:30 this week, you need three TVs. At least two, potentially three. You need Colorado and Oregon on your big TV. You need UCLA and Utah on your second biggest TV. And if you got a third TV, you can put Ole Miss and Alabama there. But, like, Colorado, Oregon is the game... I feel like one of the most anticipated games to see what Colorado can do against a team that has a pulse. The Oregon certainly does. Colorado should have lost the other night. They struggled against Colorado State. Colorado State really let them off the hook. The million penalties, dirty hits, the questionable decisions on fourth down and then 2-point conversions to win the game. But they're 3-0, and they go on the road against Oregon this week. So a lot of big games. UCLA, Utah, both of those teams. UCLA looks really good through three games. They haven't played anybody. Utah has kind of struggled a little bit, but they've played two teams that we think are not horrible in Florida and Baylor in terms of the grand scheme of things.
They beat a Florida team that just beat Tennessee.
They did. And they made Florida look really bad when they did it, too. So, I don't know. And that game is at Rice-Eccles. Utah.
And they still haven't had Cam Rising back. I don't know if... you've got to think, if they've been holding back Cam Rising, this is the week you bring him back for. I don't know. It's hard to say. But even before that, the morning slate, 9 a.m., Florida State, Clemson, that's a banger.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma State, Cincinnati, sneaky good. You've got LSU, Arkansas. Arkansas is a good quarterback. This is going
to
be...
it's a good week.
4 p.m., Oregon State, Washington State. That's a game I want to watch.
It's a really good
Ohio
week.
Ohio State, Notre Dame in on NBC. That's the game day game. Iowa, Penn State. We're going to get to see Penn State, see if they can unlock that Iowa defense. Like,
Ohio State, Notre Dame as the lead-in to the SC-ASU game at 7:30.
Just beautiful.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
But it's a perfect week for the Rotbots to break in their DraftKings deal, really, truly.
Nice transition.
On the road in Tempe. But SC, of course, will be going on the road next week also to Boulder, Folsom Fields, where they will look to get the Trojans... another final win against Colorado for the last time. USC and Colorado meeting next Saturday, and we have a time for that finally. It is 9 a.m. 9 a.m. Big noon kickoff. 9 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. local time in Boulder for USC and Colorado. Big shout out to Tim in LA for the super chat. Thank you. It says the cost of gourmet flight of mustard from Hickory Farms, or maybe the cost of like a gourmet like breakfast spread that you can have for SC in Colorado.
Yeah, there you go. You got to go find a brunch spot to watch USC Colorado in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
So cheers to that.
Yeah. Thank you, Tim. You're the best. And let's talk about this 9 a.m. kickoff. As much as we say that this upcoming Saturday is going to be boffo in terms of how good the schedule is, next week's is horrendous. As bad on paper as... well, maybe not as bad as this past week, but that's how college football works.
Week three to be...
You look at a schedule that looks bad, and you're like, that's when the games are really going to go off. Next week's schedule, week five... SC Colorado was like the only game of note that day. And especially in the conferences that Fox has media deals with. So it made sense that they were going to want to put SC in Colorado on their number one spot, which is the big noon kickoff, especially considering that Colorado goes on the road against Oregon this week. This was the last kickoff draft in which Colorado was undefeated, presumably, assuming that Colorado goes on the road and loses this week against Oregon, which they're like a 20-point underdog, right? So if, I mean, maybe not. Maybe they beat Oregon and they continue that going forward, but there's doubt there, right? And so it made sense. Cash in while you can on the buzz around the Buffs and the Trojans. But it is a 9 a.m. Pacific time kickoff at altitude. USC's earliest kickoff since the 1987 Citrus Bowl. Shout out to our buddy Kenny for doing the research on that for us. I went back looking at early times. I think there was a 10 a.m. kickoff in the 95 Cotton Bowl, 10 a.m. Pacific, but that was noon local. This is going to be 10 a.m. local, which is just crazy. Alicia, we ran the numbers in the Lincoln Riley era because they've played a bunch of morning kickoff times.
At Oklahoma.
Yes. You want the good news or the bad news first?
Let's go bad news first.
Bad news first. Okay, Lincoln Riley lost exactly one morning kickoff game in each of his 5 years as a head coach at Oklahoma. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, he lost 7 regular season games at Oklahoma.
5 of them came before noon.
5 of them were 11 a.m. local time kicks.
Yes.
Which is 9 a.m. Pacific.
Yes.
Now, does it exactly translate to USC? No, it doesn't.
It also, 11 a.m. local, a little bit different than 10 a.m. local.
Yes.
It's also a little bit different when you're used to playing in that time zone versus a 9 a.m. kickoff at 10 a.m. local. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't completely translate. Also, you can say, yes, he lost a morning kickoff in each of the 5 seasons he was there. Lincoln Riley was also 4-0 in Big 12 championship games. All of those kicked off before noon.
Yeah.
So it's give and take.
But okay, so it's all of this is relative to things. All of this is as I said on Twitter, like, none of this is like hit the panic button.
Yeah.
But it's not nothing to be playing an early kickoff.
Because we all remember the Stanford-Northwestern game.
Stanford-Northwestern, there have been other
UCLA-Virginia, I think.
Yeah, UCLA has gone and played at 9 a.m. in the past. And every time Pac-12 teams would go play a 9 a.m. kickoff, we would look at them and say they looked like they were sleepwalking. They looked like they weren't there. Now, is there a difference between those matchups for those teams and USC playing Colorado with big noon kickoff there and Deion Sanders being the center of the college football universe? Yes, there is a big difference there. USC will be amped up.
Especially SC going into this game, presumably 4-0, spoiler alert.
Yes.
But that doesn't having played nobody in the first four weeks of the season.
Yes. But it doesn't mean that there isn't a now growing list of factors that are there that can potentially cause unsettlement about this game. Like you already said, it's at altitude. That was already going to be a minor concern. It's a road game, the back-to-back road game.
Yeah.
A minor concern, but one there. Now you add in, it's an early kickoff. That's a minor concern, especially when all of USC's kickoffs so far have been later in the day, when USC's most recent kickoff will have been the late window on the road. That means you're traveling back to LA. That means everyone's getting back. Just your schedule's unsettled. Teams don't like their schedules to be unsettled like this. So it's not nothing, but it is.
It's not nothing. I don't think it's the biggest concern here, but it's something to note. Also, I would have been more worried looking at Colorado before the Colorado State game than after. I didn't care for what Colorado put on the field against Colorado State. I think that it looks pretty clear that there's a game plan for SC there, which is pressure Shedeur Sanders. Yeah. And if you do that, I think he plays not nearly as well against pressure. But there's also no Travis Hunter. He got hurt on a horrible hit, right?
And absolutely dirty hit.
Terrible injuries, like was it Skip Bayless? That's something about a lacerated liver or something like that.
Oh,
did you not see that?
No, all I've heard is that Deion said he'd be out a few weeks.
Well, that Skip was apparently breaking Pac-12 news on ESPN or Fox, wherever liver he is sounds these days.
Much different than just out a few weeks. So I don't know. Yeah. I need to look into that. But either way, first things first. Big shout out to Fighting on MC in the chat. We've got another super chat. Heyo. It says love the
especially when you get a username that's like, in honor of me.
Is that your burner?
It's not, but it could be.
It says love the Rot Show Fighting on MC in Palmdale's. Thank you. Fighting on MC is another great supporter of the show as well. We appreciate all of you guys coming in here and showing your support this way. Either way, I do not think it is an advantage for USC to be on the road playing at 9 a.m.
Right. Well, especially when Colorado's done it twice before this year.
And Colorado has done it. Okay. Travis Hunter confirms he has a lacerated liver.
Yeah.
So that sucks.
That's no bueno. But
that sucks because Travis Hunter looks like one of the most exciting players in college football, and we want to see exciting players on the football field.
Right.
And it sucks for him to get knocked out by a dirty hit in that game and not get to see him on the field. So that sucks. But either way, with or without Travis Hunter, like that game is going to be a huge game. That game is going to be a huge spectacle. But also...
Yeah. Also one that SC's probably, let's be honest, favored 20 by 20 points. And for probably good reason. So we'll see. We'll see what happens when you get there. I think the important thing is, Chalison and the chat says, come on guys, SC is miles better than Colorado. Yes, I agree. I think that you have to look at it from the other angle of when great teams lose, where do they lose? They lose to
Oregon State in 2008.
Right. They lose on the road to good teams.
They lose to Stanford as a 40-point underdog.
This fits the profile of a game that gives you slight pause, especially when it's at a weird time. So that's the only thing I think we're mentioning here. I don't think this is, DEFCON whatever it's supposed to be. Because SC has those games on the schedule. SC goes to South Bend to face a top 10 Notre Dame team that is undoubtedly a top 10 team. They go on the road to Eugene to face a top 10 Oregon team who looks undoubtedly like a top 10 team. Those are truly squeaky bum, terrifying games on SC's schedule because those are absolutely games where anyone in the country would probably not be favored to win. We'll see if SC... is or not, but so on the grand scheme of things, is it the Colorado game the scariest? No, but 9 a.m. just adds one little wrinkle, like you said. So all right, let's talk about the season to date. The Trojans 3-0 on the season. I want to run through how you feel about the Trojans right now. Through the S&P Plus numbers are interesting because the Trojans are number one in offense. Bill Connelly wrote over the weekend that SC has the most trustworthy offense in the country, and I think that that's just about right. If I have no concerns with SC's ability to go out and score 45, 50 points against anybody. I think this team against Georgia is scoring 30 plus. You know what I mean? This offense is just so dynamic. Now SC could give up that much against Georgia too, but that's beside the point right now when we're talking about just the offense. SC's also number one in special teams SP plus. Defensively, they're 49th in the country. Well, didn't we talk about that all SC needed to get to the playoffs was a top 50 defense? Isn't this what we said SC needed was number 40? Yeah. I mean, they haven't proven it yet. Like, they still have to go out and, and face Penix and Hartman and Nix.
Yeah, but that's so here's the thing. USC had a top 50 defense when they were playing the first few teams, the first month of the schedule last year.
Yeah.
You have a top 50 defense if you can have a top 50 defense when you're playing Sam Hartman.
Yes.
And you're playing Michael Penix. Like,
but I think it's important to know that you have to understand that, like, I think SC giving up 40 points to Washington, Oregon, Notre Dame, we need to look at differently than if SC gives up 30, 35, 40 points to other teams.
I am telling you right now.
Like, they're going to give up 40 to Washington
because
Washington's
right
that
now,
good.
If USC holds any of those teams to under 30 points, it's a win.
You have no business not winning that
it's
game.
It's a win.
Yeah.
If
you hold them to under 40,
if you,
you
hold
should
them
beat
to
them.
Under 40, if you hold
you
them,
should beat them
to 39 points, if a magical genie came into the room right now and said, Alicia, USC will give up 39 points to everyone remaining on the schedule, I would take that and feel confident that USC was undefeated.
I mean, that sounds absurd.
Like, that's where I'm at with the USC offense.
Well, yes, but like, but no, I think the point I'm trying to make is I think there's a difference between giving up a 45 burger to Michael Penix and UW and giving up the 36 points that they gave up on the road to Arizona last year, right? Like, those things are different because Washington's going to score 40 points on everybody.
Yeah.
So, like, when you look at these numbers, and SP Plus is opponent adjusted, that's what the plus means, I think you have to factor those things in here. And that's why I've been really, you know, impressed with what SC has done the last 2 weeks defensively. Because they've made bad teams look bad, which has been a struggle for SC. We didn't see it in week one. We didn't see it last year. So, yeah, you're going to give up points against the best offenses. I think that's just going to be expected. But you need to beat the bad teams badly. They're going up against ASU this week. SC might face like the fourth string quarterback from the Sun Devils. You need to make him look like the fourth string quarterback.
Yes.
And if you do that, I think that that checks out with what you're supposed to do defensively.
But if you go the week after and are playing Shooter Sanders and let him put up 400 yards on you, then that's not a top 50 defense. Like, you need to be able to step up when you're playing the good team so that what you need from this defense...
You need to hold teams to lower than their averages.
You need to make it so that Caleb Williams and the USC offense doesn't have to be perfect. Because that's what USC's offense needed to be perfect to beat Tulane.
Yeah.
USC's offense needed to be perfect to beat
Utah. The lucky part is this offense can be perfect.
Well, yes, but you don't want to force them to have to be. Like, that's how you lose games to Utah. That's how you lose games to Tulane. So it's about putting a stamp on, like you said, hold them at this point, hold them to their average, and I will be fine. Like,
sure.
I don't know. I just think right now we still won't know what's going on with USC's defense this time next week. We will know a lot more about what's going on with USC's defense
2 weeks from now.
Two weeks from now because Colorado does have an offense that can put up points.
Yeah, a lot of love for Bear Alexander in the chat. And we were going to do a segment here about talking about the superlatives of the first quarter. And Bear Alexander, I think, easily was going to be the newcomer of the first quarter. Zachariah Branch, the freshman of the first quarter, But Bear Alexander, the newcomer, and Johnny says, I can't wait for Bear Alexander to cause havoc in the line and quarterback pressures. I can already see Solomon Bird and Jamil Muhammad sacking Shedeur Sanders. Yeah, like...
But that's what you need. That's what you need. And between this year and last year is you have Barry Alexander in there.
Yes.
You need him to do those things against those teams as well.
But like, one of the things that we talked about in the preseason was all the guys that SC had brought in on defense. Muhammad, Lucas, Sullivan, Alexander, all those guys that were going to be on the defensive line, how... You didn't know who was going to be the great one. And I want to say that I made the point that the good thing about having all those guys is that you can afford to have one be a bust, one get hurt, one be what you expect, and one be better than you expect. And I don't know that we can classify any of those into anything other than Bear Alexander is at least what you expected, if not more at this point.
He's better than I expected.
He's better than I expected.
I expected
quickly. Yes.
Well, honestly, what I expected from Bear Alexander was flashes.
Sure.
Because he's a five-star talent, but we've seen five-star talent at USC.
Mm-hmm.
And consistency has not necessarily been a factor, and sort of physical domination has not necessarily been there since probably, like, you know, Leonard Williams. I was not expecting to see Bear Alexander from the get-go.
Yeah. He's got a lot of Darryl Russell in him.
A dominant force the way that he has been. I thought we'd still be talking about he's clearly talented, but he's young.
Yeah.
I haven't had to say the he's clearly talented, but he's young, and that's why it's not like all the time that he's out there wrecking offensive lines. He is wrecking offensive lines.
Yeah, he's doing to opposing
centers what Kyrus Tonga did to Brett Nealon over and over and over again.
The greatest defensive nose tackle performance in the history of the game, what Tonga did to SC and Keaton Slovis. Yeah, I think that the thing about Bear Alexander that's been so fun to watch is just his impact on everybody else, because he plays a position to where, I mean, he had two tackles for loss in the national championship game. He had a sack in that game. And you think that, okay, if he can be a big, productive guy, that's going to be great. But I think we're seeing he doesn't have to be productive to have an impact.
Yes.
You saw the interception with Max Williams against Stanford on that very first drive. That was all Bear Alexander. Not to take anything away from Max Williams, but like that was all Bear Alexander to create that play. Max talked about it after the game. It was like, when the defensive line does that, it makes it easy, right? Like, that's what you need. And, you know, if this defense of Alex Grinch is going to be so aggressive, then you've got to either get home or force the havoc that is going to create a pressure of some sort to create a negative play for the offense.
Well, we saw this.
And we're seeing those things despite not having the sacks.
Yes.
SC does not have that many sacks this season at all.
Yes.
But they're getting the benefits of it.
Yes. And that is one thing that we saw, not to get ahead of ourselves, but like one thing that we saw Colorado State do very well until the final drive when they decided to go into prevent defense and it went very poorly for them, was them getting at Shedeur Sanders and making him miss throws that we know he can make if he's given time. And that is the philosophical idea of Alex Grinch's defense. The problem is, like, might work against the quarterbacks USC has faced. It might work. I think it probably will work against Shedeur Sanders.
Right.
Sam Hartman, Michael Penix, Cam Rising, all of these guys, like, you need to have all 11 guys on the field be putting in putting in the work. But
the
job of all 11 guys on the field gets a hell of a lot easier if Bear Alexander is pushing an offensive lineman into the quarterback's face the moment that the ball is snapped.
Right. Yeah, 100%. I just looked at the numbers. Sacks allowed so far this season. Oregon and Washington have allowed one sack apiece. One. SC's allowed three. Yeah. But Oregon and Washington, one each. Do you want to know how many Colorado's allowed?
They've played 3 games.
Mm-hmm.
9.
16.
Yeesh.
Only Old Dominion has allowed more. Yeah. At this rate, like, I don't want to talk too much about Colorado yet. We'll save that for next week. But I think that this sounds weird, but hear me out. I think that we can talk about Colorado as maybe being an offense that is the best suited for the Alex Grinch defense.
Yes.
Similarly to what Washington State was last year,
mm-hmm.
where we know that Cam Ward was a guy who beat Wisconsin on the road. What could he do? We knew what he did at what Incarnate Word or Lamar? Incarnate Word, I think. And then what did he do at Wazoo? And then SC's best defensive performance all year was against Cam Ward and Washington State. And so because they couldn't protect him, Colorado, if they're not getting the protection and SC continues to get Bear Alexander there, I think it's going to benefit SC tremendously. Let's talk about offense. SC's offense, of course, looking like the best offense on the planet. Zachariah Branch, we can say is the freshman, and it's easy to say that he's the freshman of the first quarter. Besides Zachariah Branch and besides Caleb Williams, just because they're so easy to talk about, and we've talked about them at length, I feel like, who else has been an impressionable player for you in the first quarter?
You're asking me this question.
I know. It's a layup that I should have excluded the person you're going to say,
yeah,
because
you're out
now
here
you're just excluding
people and not and the, okay. I'll
the
take
romantic.
It.
Dun, 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 dun. Here's the okay. Get steamy about it. Go ahead.
Zero the hero himself, Marshawn Lloyd.
Yeah, there you go.
my favorite player of all time, Michael.
I know.
He's so good, Michael.
I know.
He's ridiculous, Michael.
I get it.
I'm worried.
I actually think this is a case of optimistic Alicia.
I am worried for him because the degree to which I love Marshawn Lloyd means like they need to wrap him in bubble wrap because
uh-oh.
Every time I love a player as much as I love Marshawn Lloyd, like the universe just strikes them down and doesn't let them play anymore. So, it's Marshawn Lloyd. I think honestly, like Marshawn Lloyd has, I worried about USC's ability to truly replace Travis Dye.
Mm-hmm.
Marshawn Lloyd has taken any of that away. I think the rushing attack, the two-headed rushing attack of Marshawn Lloyd and Austin Jones, is every bit as good as the rushing attack from last year with Travis Dye and Austin Jones, and that is a huge weight off of my back.
I like that. Maybe this is going to change as we get further into the conference slate. But I like that it's that the running game isn't just Travis Dye.
Yes.
It was for the longest part of last season. It was just Travis Dye, and then when he gets hurt, it's like, well, what's going to happen now? Because it looked like Austin Jones was in the doghouse. And then Austin Jones plugged in perfectly against UCLA and Notre Dame. He looked great and was just as good as he was early on in the season. As it stands now, it looks like it's a two-headed backfield with Jones and Lloyd. And I think that's a good thing. It's a good thing if it continues to be a two-headed backfield. If it means that each one gets like 7 carries a game, yeah, it might suck for each one of their production,
mm-hmm.
but that's what this offense is because there's no, like I talked about it before. I don't think any of the receivers is going to get 1,000 yards. And we were talking to a couple of our buddies and they're like, that sounds insane, but look at the numbers. Like I think that the distribution is the way it is. Like, Dorian Singer has been targeted 8 times through 3 games.
Yeah. And it's not like Dorian Singer hasn't made
plays.
Looked wonderful.
Right.
But that's the nature of this offense. This offense is like the height of the Mike Leach era, 5 different wide receivers with 700 yards each kind of deal.
That's what it's going to be like. 100%.
And that's the thing is Caleb Williams could not have more weapons around him. And
right.
that is why this defense, why this offense is, to me, the best offense in the country.
Yeah. Let's get into Pac-12 talk here. I want to rapid fire your first quarter thoughts. We're going to go in reverse order of the preseason media poll for the conference. So we start 12, which was Stanford. Stanford picked to finish last. They're 1-2 on the season. Rapid fire thoughts, Alicia, on Stanford.
They are very bad.
Yeah, they're bad. They're not good.
Very bad.
I like the rebuilds. It's going to be a scary rebuild. Like I feel for them. I'm as sad as I am that SC and Stanford no longer are going to be playing football games. I'm sad we don't have to see the decline of Stanford because it's depressing.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like it's depressing. I hope Troy Taylor can turn it around, but it's not good. Number 11 was picked to finish 11th was Colorado. They're 3-0. What are your thoughts through 3 weeks?
Clearly better than the 11th team in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
The talent that Deion brought in, at the very least the high level talent, has been out there talenting. But I don't think that they will be a top 25 team by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. They still have a long way to go. I think the top level talent will get them some wins. It will continue to get them some wins. They're going to challenge a lot of teams, but they have a really rough schedule coming up, and yeah. I don't see them getting through it with.
They picked a bad year.
Yeah, they picked a bad year to do this in the Pac-12.
Yes, because they could have done this in a different year, and you know might have been dark horse conference contenders, maybe. Yeah. If it continues to work, surely. But I have my doubts. I did not like how they played on Saturday at all. I thought Colorado State should have beaten them by multiple scores in that game.
That was not a good, that was an actively bad performance from Colorado against a team that is in the bottom five.
Yes.
Of college football in terms of the analytics. Right. So
I know it was a rivalry game. Right.
It's a rivalry game, so you sort of, and there was just hype around it, and players were playing beyond what they are, I think, in a lot of areas for Colorado State.
But
you can't, that can't.
No,
that's the equivalent.
For a third game in the first year.
Oh yeah,
That's totally ahead of the curve.
But if we're grading them on the scale of they are a top 25 team,
yeah,
the equivalent would be if Stanford had forced this year's Stanford team had forced overtime against USC,
yeah,
in week two, and that would have caused panic around USC. So I'm just saying.
But the expectations slightly different, out of whack for Colorado though, on the high end and the low end probably at the same time. But yeah, better than the 11th ranked team in the conference. I think that's the most important thing.
Rule number one about Colorado: do not talk about Colorado. USC, I am looking at you. Every single player, coach, former player, anybody, do not say words about Colorado because motivating them, bad idea.
Number 10 preseason media poll was ASU. They're currently 1-2. They beat Southern Utah in a weird game that had weird weather. But then they just get the doors blown off. You know, they were okay against Oklahoma State, but just got the doors blown off by Fresno State in a game in which all their quarterbacks got hurt.
Yeah, but like Oklahoma State lost to South Alabama this week.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Kenny Dillingham because I don't think even under...
It's like the Troy Taylor thing. Like he's inheriting a bad situation.
But worse, he's inheriting a bad situation. And then that bad situation got a whole bunch of extra poop thrown on top of it.
Right.
Not just with the bullpen. The injuries that Arizona is dealing with. Their Arizona State is... Their offensive line is absolutely ravaged. They're down to their fourth and fifth string quarterbacks.
Yeah.
It looks very, very bad for ASU, and very little of it feels like a reflection of Kenny Dillingham at this point. Like, no one could win under these circumstances.
Yeah, I agree. 9 is Cal, 2-1. Almost beat Auburn. I'm a big shrug on Cal. Cal is...
What even is...
Is Cal a bad team? No. Is Cal a good team? No.
Cal is what they've always been. Yeah, Cal... Justin Wilcox isn't a bad head coach, so they won't ever be totally in the dumpster. but they just don't have the talent to be anything that's more than just a very, very mid, a mid Pac-12 team, which a mid Pac-12 team at this stage is the ninth best team in the conference.
Yes, because it's a loaded freaking conference. Yeah. Arizona 2-1. If Arizona is your eighth best team, your conference has got to be feeling good. Eighth best team into the media poll in the preseason. That's probably where there are now, to be quite honest. I think that ranking seems true to form. 2-1, their only loss on the road against Mississippi State. McMillan looks incredible.
Oh, absolutely.
We already know what Jaden Delora is. He can be, you know, God on one day, and he can be not so good on the others, but they're not an easy team to face. They can give anybody trouble. Want to go to Washington State? 7th in the preseason poll. 3-0, Washington State.
Yeah, Washington State is secretly... If this were a different season, Washington State could be... You could look at them in, like, Oregon State shoes, where, like, maybe dark horse contenders. The problem is that... There are so many really good teams in the Pac-12 that they're the ranking for them still feels right, but that's a very good team that's gonna get a scalp or two the rest of the way in the Pac-12 schedule. Like,
yeah, it's the I would say that it's a good year that SC doesn't get Washington State or Oregon State, but the trade-off is having to play Oregon and Washington, who are just a step above those two, but still, like, any of those four, you'd love to skip all four of them. They all look scary.
Yeah.
Number 6 in the preseason media poll is UCLA. The Bruins are 3-0. Dante Moore is not the starting quarterback. Do not say he's the starting quarterback, because Chip does not want to tell you he's the starting quarterback. Stop asking. But he's the starting quarterback, and he looks pretty good for a freshman. The Bill Colley numbers are all very good. The idea is this might be Chip Kelly's best offense at UCLA. Defense, a question mark, though. Ain't played nobody, though.
Definitely played nobody, so they're even more difficult to tell. At least with USC and Washington, they've played nobody, but we've seen the bulk of these teams for what they were last year. We know that they've returned. With UCLA, I think that it's harder to buy in fully, because we haven't seen any of these quarterbacks go up against somebody who's really going to challenge them. Mm-hmm. But the fact is that Chip Kelly is a good head coach, and Chip Kelly will have UCLA at the very least a competitive Pac-12 team.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not they can move into the conversation for the conference title really does depend on whether or not Dante Moore is ready to be that guy right now. And we can't rule that out yet. That's the scary thing about UCLA, is that it'd be easier to disregard them if it looked like Dante Moore was going to be a freshman being a freshman.
Right.
It doesn't look like that at this point. So
no, he looks like he's picked up right where DTR was. Right
where DTR left off. So, you know, when DTR was at Dante Moore's stage, you could see that, like, this is DTR. This is, you know, the DTR experience was still well and truly, like, a thing. And I don't think Dante Moore is giving that right now.
Yeah, let's go to number 5 in the preseason polls. Oregon State, 3-0. Oregon State, probably you can put higher on this list. They look really good. DJ looks pretty solidly at home there. Yeah.
I mean, maybe Clemson is the problem.
It could just be the Clemson problem. You never know.
It could be. I like Oregon State a lot. I like Jonathan Smith a lot. This matchup they have against Washington State is going to be very, very interesting, though, because this is Washington State has a defense that if Oregon State's cracks on offense we're going to show, like, I think we'll see it this weekend against Washington State. So,
what happens if you're Washington State and Oregon State at the pregame coin flip? Do you just walk out with the voodoo doll and, first of all, like, hold hands, embrace, and then have a voodoo doll with SC and UCLA logos, and then you just, like, rip it to shreds? Like, is that because
the two of them collectively trying to...
I feel bad for Washington State and Oregon State. I feel horrible for them. They do not deserve to be left out in the cold. And I think that they have every right in the world to be bitter, to be angry, to be mad at SC and UCLA and everybody else, to be mad at their in-state rivals for leaving. They are justified in how they feel.
Yeah.
And so good on them for being good this year and giving everybody hell to pay for it. So
The Mountain West is the big winner in all of this because Oregon State and Washington State in a Mountain West, whatever.
Because I think Oregon State and Washington State, if they go to the Mountain West, are going to murder them.
Well, but that's what I mean. It's like, I think adding those programs to the Mountain West is going to... I will continue to stand by my bold prediction that Oregon State will make it to the playoff before like UCLA does.
Well, you could have said Oregon. That would have been a thing to stand on.
I could go there. I don't know what Oregon's going to do at quarterback next year. So yeah, I'll say that Oregon State's going to make it to the playoff before Oregon does.
Let's go to number 4 in the preseason media poll was the Oregon Ducks. They are 3-0. They have two dominant blowout obliterations that they have performed at Autzen, but they had one game that they had to sort of pull out of their ass on the road in Lubbock against the Texas Tech team who lost to Wyoming, a Wyoming team that nearly beat Texas.
Yeah.
Are they battle tested? I don't know. I think we're going to learn a lot about them this upcoming week. I think Oregon is for real.
I wish that USC had played a Texas Tech level team in the first 3 weeks.
Just so we know.
So that we could have a better...
More things?
Yes. The thing about Oregon is that right now, to me, they still look like the same team that they were last year. And I mean that in the sense that, like, that offense is very dangerous. That offense with Bo Nix is going to hurt people.
Yeah.
The defense still does have some question marks that I don't know have been necessarily answered. And they got exposed a little bit against Texas Tech. The difference between USC and Oregon right now is USC hasn't had the chance to really get exposed outside of that week zero matchup.
I was going to say, what team in the Pac-12 doesn't have a defense? Outside of maybe Oregon State, which team doesn't have a defense that has question marks on it? Washington, question marks. Mm-hmm. SC, question marks. UCLA, question marks. Like, Oregon, question marks, the teams that, especially last year, Oregon, I mean, SC was not in their own sort of brand of football last year by being great on offense and bad on defense. That was kind of the name of the game in the Pac-12 last year. So, unless teams prove that otherwise this year, that's probably where we're going to be headed.
The great thing about Oregon playing Colorado the week before USC plays Colorado is that if Colorado gives Oregon trouble, USC has a whole lot of tape to reference.
Yeah, this is true. The number 3 team in the preseason poll is the Utah Utes. Here's the thing. I think Utah is the 3rd best team in the conference right now? No. But we've talked about it a lot. Who are we to doubt them? They've gone to the Pac-12 championship game 4 of the last 5 seasons. The only one they didn't was the season we don't talk about. I'm not doubting Utah. Like, there's a million reasons to doubt them right now, but I'm not, because Kyle Whittingham is Kyle Whittingham.
I have great respect and admiration for Kyle Whittingham and this and Utah as a program. But
they don't look as scary as Oregon, Washington, UCLA on their best day, Oregon State, etc.
Yes. And there's a reason for that, because Cam Rising isn't playing.
Yeah.
So I'll almost give them the pass for the first 3 weeks.
The pass means they're still 3-0, though, that's a good spot to be in.
They're still 3-0 in nervous games against Florida and Baylor and a game against Weber State
We've seen good Utah teams not be 3-0 at this point.
Yes, But my concern for Utah right now is that they still haven't gotten Cam Rising back, which means that when Cam Rising comes back, like, there are 4 weeks until Utah plays USC. Cam Rising hasn't been cleared to play yet, and it's almost the end of September.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to play. Is he going to play against UCLA on the 23rd of September? If he plays against UCLA on the 23rd of September, how capable physically will he be? Is he going to, is it going to happen on the 29th of September when they're playing at Oregon State? Is that going to be his return to the lineup when they go to Reser? Is Utah going to win that game with or without Cam Rising, especially a Cam Rising that is at best had one game back from an ACL tear? I think Utah might be in trouble just because they haven't had the lead in time with Utah. Now you're telling me that, okay, Cam Rising might get back in the next couple of weeks, but then has maybe 2 weeks to get back to full form, and then he's going to do the thing against UCLA, against USC at the Coliseum, not in the friendly confines of Rice Eccles.
I like the friendly confines reference.
Yeah. I don't know that you can look at Utah right now and put them ahead of USC, Oregon, Washington.
Probably can't put them ahead of Washington State, Oregon State, UCLA.
It's hard because we don't know what Cam Rising's going to, as T'Challa Sun in the chat says, will Cam Rising still be mobile? Yeah, that's a huge part of his game. How long will it take for him to get his confidence back in his mobility? Yeah. These are all...
And you know what's going to happen? He's
going to come back and be absolutely.
It's going to be like rookie of the year. You're like, you thought he was deceptively mobile before. Yeah. He's like this, you know, stocky looking, unathletically looking white guy, and then all of a sudden he's just running all over you. Now he's going to be that with like an even bigger brace on his knee and going to run over you even more. It's like, who knows?
Again, I'm not in the business of doubting Utah because I've been burned one too many times, but I do think that they are in a much worse spot than I thought they would be, in the sense that I thought by now that they would be able to be easing Cam Rising back into the season.
Yeah.
And the easing ability for Cam Rising has completely passed. Those first three games needed to be it.
The thing it's an interesting space for the Utes to be in, because this is a bad spot for them to, like Richard in the chat says, if he doesn't come back, where does Utah finish? That's tough because this is not the year to have these questionable. It's tough because it's not the year to have these questionable things right now, because a decent Utah team is still probably losing to all these other teams in the conference because the conference is so good.
Yeah, I think without Cam Rising, they're losing to UCLA, Oregon State, USC, Oregon, Washington, at least.
Yeah, and like, but they could still be a damn good team and give, you know, beat anybody on any given day, but that's how good the conference is. Let's go to the number two preseason media poll team in the conference. Behind SC was number one. It is the Washington Huskies, 3-0 on the season. The Huskies are now number one in college football, averaging 9.46 yards per play in the first three games. Remember last week I said that I had that stat where there was like SC has the most yards per play and the fifth most in the last 10 years in the first month of the season. Yeah, well, now Washington is ahead of where SC is. Still many games to be played before the end of the month, but like that's how good the Huskies are. Bill Connolly looked at his projections and he deleted the column that has preseason input. And when you do that, Washington is number one in the country. Michael Penix looks incredible. They went on the road to play Michigan State, fresh off of the thing that's been happening with them, and just thoroughly dismantled Michigan State. Michigan State in turmoil. I think that was always expected that Washington State was going to beat them, or Washington was going to beat them, considering what they did last year at Husky Stadium. But they did it so emphatically and perfectly that that's what you're supposed to do in those situations, and they did it even more so, which I think is impressive to go on the road and do that the way that they did. They get Cal this week. The Oregon game's coming up in about, 3 weeks or whatever. Like, that's going to be interesting.
Washington.
I don't know. They look so tough, man.
Washington is a very, very good team. They're a well-coached team. Kalen DeBoer is a proven head coach.
Yeah.
That it is kind of ridiculous that it took as long for him to get an FBS opportunity as it did.
Yeah.
He is.
Dude won multiple national titles at the NAIA level, and it took him like 12 years to get another head coaching job.
Yes, yes. Big ups to Jen Cohen for giving him that opportunity.
Well, Fresno State first, but yes.
Well, yeah, that's right. He went to Fresno State. Yeah. Yeah, Washington is a problem. The best thing I can say is that USC gets them at home.
Yes.
USC gets them at home, and that everyone should be looking at that and saying, thank the Lord. Because if you had to ask me now if I would rather go to Autzen or Seattle, I would rather go to Autzen than play this Washington team in Seattle. So
could you imagine a world where SC had to go on the road to Washington, Oregon, and Notre Dame?
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
The thing I'm hoping for right now, just for the ultimate, is I want SC and Washington to be number one, number two going in that game. Like, can you imagine?
Can you imagine it?
Imagine it.
Oh, that would be.
I shared this in one of our group chats, and somebody was like, how does that even happen? I'm like, it could happen, because Georgia probably needs to stub a toe somewhere, but like, Ohio State beats Notre Dame. SC beats Notre Dame. And then Utah. And Washington beats Oregon. I think that it absolutely could end up with that being the case. Like, if that happened, it would be insane. It's the most anticipated game at the Coliseum in forever.
The harder part of that is getting Washington to number two. Because if USC is undefeated going into that November weekend, they will have beaten Colorado, Notre Dame, Utah. And Notre Dame, I think by the time USC, well, I guess it really depends on what Notre Dame does against Ohio State. Because if Notre Dame beats Ohio State and then USC beats Notre Dame on the road, I think USC will have a very strong argument for being the number one team in the country. The problem is that Washington.
I'm looking at their schedule.
Oregon is the only one there that will give them a big, big ratings boost.
Well, because Washington won the schedule of the season, because the two teams that they miss are UCLA and Colorado.
Yes.
So,
but that means they don't get the
and it's backloaded. They finish SC, Utah, Oregon State, Washington State.
That's tough.
So all the games that would build up the ranking juice in October, they don't get, with the exception of Oregon. But Oregon will be a good top 10 matchup, probably. Yeah. So,
Richard points out you need Michigan to lose by then as well.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Okay. Again, it's all.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter anyway.
A lot of things. Yeah. Anyways, we got a bunch of mailbag questions, so let's get to it.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You've got mail.
All right, let's start with a mailbag question that we got from our buddy, L.A. Fred. Is it possible for the Pac-12 to get SEC level of respect, i.e. losing to another ranked team, thus not dropping much in the polls next week as conference play heats up and teams start beating each other? I think yes. I think it started a little bit of that last year, but I think yes.
Yes.
It's going to have to be the case.
Yes.
Because there's just too many ranked Pac-12 teams.
Yeah. Yes, in a sense. The problem that I see happening, though, is like UCLA beats Utah. Or UCLA loses to Utah, let's say. UCLA loses to Utah. Well, UCLA is just going to drop out. Like, and Utah will get a minor boost from that, but UCLA is just going to drop out. Like, the thing that helped SEC teams is that they were all up in, like, the top 10 and beating each other up and only dropping so far because you only lost to a top 10 team.
They'd have that thing where they would beat a 5-1 Mississippi State team who is 4-0 beating Cream Puffs.
Yeah.
In the non-con, and somehow they're ranked 18th because they beat up on all the Cream Puffs in the non-con. And then you can say, oh, look, we beat a ranked Mississippi State team, and then Mississippi State plays the rest of the schedule, and they finish 5-7. But, hey, they were ranked. They were ranked that week.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to happen. I think that's going to happen to some extent. I mean, well, Oregon, look at Colorado, Washington, this week.
Yeah.
Colorado might not be ranked the rest of the year. They might be a tough out. I think that they're probably going to be a tough out for a lot of teams in the Pac-12. But Oregon will get the benefit of facing a 3-0 Colorado team that is ranked. And if Oregon beats them, that will go on their schedule and a little feather in the cap.
Right, but like Oregon State beating Washington State isn't going to give Oregon State a major boost, and it's just going to drop Washington State out of the rankings.
It should. But the problem is there's not all these like SEC teams to pick up the pieces. Who's picking up the pieces?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't help that like there's a lot of ranked games this week, so there's going to be a lot of shuffling. So maybe there's teams aren't going to be dropping as much, period. Maybe that makes it difficult. I don't know. But yeah. I think yes.
The Pac-12 is getting a lot of respect right now.
Yes.
Which is funny, given the context of the last 20 years.
It's both depressing and, like, I'm happy and I'm depressed at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very weird feeling.
Yeah.
Let's go to a message we got on Discord from David Orange County. Are you bummed that some of the shine may be taken off the Colorado game due to their lackluster performance against Colorado State and the injuries that they suffered? Yes and no. Yes, in the sense that if you don't want to see Travis Hunter get hurt and all that stuff. No, in the sense that I think that from the SC perspective, Colorado State played the game I think you want to see from SC in terms of the defense, which is getting after Sanders and kind of put on tape how you slow him down.
Yeah, I'm bummed about Travis Hunter's injury.
Yeah.
Realistically, the shine was going to be taken off of that game what happens in Eugene. Yeah. But even then, even if Oregon, let's say worst case scenario for Colorado, they go into Oregon and just get their pants beat off of them. Like, Oregon puts an 80 on them or something like that. Like, Oregon does the thing. I still think that it's a big noon matchup. It's Deion Sanders. It's USC. I still think that there will be a lot.
Don't write my epic intro
of
already.
Energy around that game, just because then Colorado is in an underdog role, and everyone's sort of looking at that game as a, well, is Colorado gonna get USC? Mm-hmm. Like, it's gonna be that kind of thing. So, I think the shine will still be on that game regardless of what happened on Saturday, regardless of what happens this coming Saturday.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that people will find a way to make that game have shine. Mm-hmm. Let's go to,
especially if USC talks. So don't.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Nobody likes to be offended more than Deion Sanders, Dabo Swinney, Sweeney. They love, like, Georgia. Remember last year?
Yeah, Kirby Smart saying people thought they were going to be a 7-5. Like, oh.
What?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to a message we got from 818 Kyle on Discord. Not to look ahead of ASU, but any fun guesses for how Deion will find ways to make the USC game personal, considering Lincoln Riley says almost nothing publicly.
Lincoln's not going to fall into the trap that Norvell did.
I don't think SC has to say anything here.
No.
Because all it has to be is like, well, look at all the talk that Caleb Williams is getting or whatnot. And I don't know. I don't think SC has to literally say anything.
I think Caleb is smart enough at this point to not poke the bear.
Well, he learned his lesson with the fingers. He learned his
lesson last year.
Yeah.
Does that mean that there aren't players at USC who could drop a thing in interviews during the week? That could absolutely happen. If I'm Lincoln Riley, I am being proactive. The moment the ASU game is done, the first thing that's said about Colorado is do not talk about Colorado. We are silent.
Yeah.
We will talk with our
Do not talk about Colorado.
We don't talk about
Colorado.
Then I think honestly the bigger issue for USC when it comes to pissing off Dion is things outside of their control. Things like Sua Cravens on Twitter saying something, or Sua's pro Dion,
pro Colorado,
Lendell White, or like, you know, somebody in the media saying something that's completely not connected to USC, like right. Danny Cannell saying something, like things that are not within USC's control. So like at a certain point, coaches, and I'm not just talking about Dion, all coaches will find the bulletin board material that they need to motivate their team, and they will find it wherever they can find it. So USC could be completely silent and it will still be found. But the big thing is don't contribute to it.
Yeah, I agree. And don't play beyond the whistle and hit anybody.
Yes, absolutely.
That's important too. Let's go to the next message we got from Tim in LA. What questions do you still have about the team after three games? I still want to see some drives where the offense controls the tempo and doesn't score quickly. I want to see some boring 6 or 7 minute drives to show that they can bleed the clock and give the defense a rest when the situation calls for it. Tim in LA, a fan of the tantric USC offense. I don't know. Like,
oh Lord. Okay.
Yes, I agree. But I don't think that's what this offense is. And I think that in a situation where you'd love SC to just, I don't know how many of those opportunities are there going to be? And I think that I think Lincoln Riley's answer to that would be, isn't it better just to score the points when you can and just have the points scored?
Yes.
The problem is you look at the Utah game. If you leave the team just enough time and they can pull the 2-point conversion trick to beat you on a 2-point conversion, like we talk about the first Utah game last year and SC losing that game, but they were tit for tat. They only lost because Utah went for a 2-point conversion that SC didn't have the opportunity of going for. So in a situation where, yes, theoretically you could have taken longer and bled out the clock more or something like that, maybe that could have been a different situation, maybe, I guess, but I don't know. I fully understand where Tim's coming from, but like this is a nitpick. This is a little on the nitpicky side.
No, I think it's valid though. I think
it's a valid nitpick.
I think it's a valid nitpick to look for going forward. On that note, I agree. I would love to see a few drives where it's just run the ball down somebody's throat and prove that they can. Have them prove that they can stop you.
Yeah. I don't have
it all beyond Caleb's shoulders, I guess, is what I would say.
For sure. But I think we're gonna see drives where there's going to be a lot of running, especially in second halves of things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go to last question on Discord before we open up the YouTube questions. From Richard. ASU looks really, really, really bad. How many Geneva Convention protocols does playing this game violate? I guess we will see.
I guess the question here, though, is that is ASU worse than Stanford? Because it felt like the Geneva Convention was violated against Stanford. Like, there's laws against.
I mean, Stanford did go to a second string quarterback who had never played in the. Who had never taken a snap in college football before, who was like a linebacker at Syracuse.
Yeah. Ideally, USC recreates the Stanford game, which is to say, put up so many points on them in the first half that you can have two more quarters for Miller Moss to convince me that he can be a quarterback for USC.
Yeah.
Start the car cast early. That's the goal.
We'll see. But come back Wednesday when we'll talk about it and preview the game. Let's go to the YouTube questions. We're going to run through these a little quickly, but feel free to always throw your questions in the chat if you're joining us here live on YouTube. And while you do that, be sure to hit the like button and make sure that you're subscribed. It helps you continue and join us for the future and helps grow the show and all those things. Cameron says, do you think USC will beat ASU in Colorado with the losses of Jaden Rashada and Travis Hunter due to injury? I'm calling a 60 burger to ASU and a 50 burger against Colorado. National Burger Day, by the way, tomorrow.
I don't, based on what USC's offense has done against the defenses they've already faced, I think USC should be looking to put up 50 plus in the next 2 weeks as well.
Do they top the 100 mark for the next two road games?
Combined.
I think yes.
I would take the over on that.
I think yes, which sounds nuts. It sounds nuts about two road games, but I think yeah. Mm-hmm. I think the answer is yeah. Ramirez says, what are you most surprised about after the first three games? What are you most concerned about? And what are your record predictions for the remaining nine games? Okay, most concerned about first three games.
I remain concerned about the defense being overly aggressive and getting taken advantage of the way that San Jose State took advantage of them. I think they cleaned it up a lot the next 2 weeks, but the opponents that they were facing were not the ones who were going to test them on that front too hard anyways. So that remains my biggest concern. My biggest surprise is how much I love Marshawn Lloyd. I really need
to get the romantic music on the board.
And then the remaining record predictions, I am sticking to my preseason record prediction, which is the loss at Notre Dame, and that being it being 11-1 on the season for USC.
Yeah. I think most surprised for me is how quickly the defense has shown improvements. Most concerned about still the defense, like you said. And I think I got to stick with my record prediction still at 10-2. I think SC is very good.
I think you had a loss to
Notre Dame and Washington.
Yeah, that's I think Notre Dame
is a scary road game. And Notre Dame looks very good. Teams lose on the road. That's how it works. And Washington looks insanely different. Washington looks like SC looking in the mirror. That game being at home, I think, helps. Is SC's offense better? Maybe a smidge. But anything can happen in a shootout. It's going to be nuts. So, I think SC could go 12-0, and they could go 9-3 and lose three shootouts in crazy games in this conference. I would not be shocked either way. The other thing I've maintained, I said that SC looks like has a chance of being a better team than last year, but not have a record that shows for it. I still agree with that. I think USC looks like a better football team this year than last year. That is the most important thing. So remember that no matter what, that even if SC does end up losing to a shootout somewhere that maybe you didn't expect or whatever, I think it's very likely that SC is a better team than they were last year anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Damon says, anyone know where SC and Arizona State will be televised? Big Fox.
7:30 p.m. Pacific, Big Fox.
Yeah. Let's go to Greg, who says, do you think Utah is holding Cam Rising until the SC game, or do they want him to return to play as soon as possible?
They should want him to return to play as soon as possible. I don't think that they have had the luxury to feel like they can hold him out precautionarily, if that's a word.
Right.
I think he's being held out because he hasn't been medically cleared to play a football game yet. And when he is medically cleared to play a football game, that's when we will see him. I don't think this is a decision by Utah. I think this is a decision by doctors.
Yeah. I think ideally, at least, you want him back for the Cal game the week before. They get Cal at home at Rice-Eccles.
They should want him back this week.
Well, yes, yes. But, like, no worse than then. No worse than then. That's a weird way to put it. But, yeah. Let's go to Fighting on MC. Do you see USC continue to score 50-plus points in their remaining games? I wouldn't bet against it at this point. There's going to be a game where SC scores in the 20s because there will be a game that is a sleepwalk. There always is for every team. There will be that game. But realistically, I don't know how you can say that this team doesn't score 40, 50 plus in every game.
I think my pick for that game is at Cal. that trappy Cal mm-hmm. game.
That's the game SC wins. The game
that inexplicably USC wins 27-17
or something. Yeah. I could see it. I could see it. And it being the trap game in between everything else, just get through it. Just get through it. That's all I got to do. Let's see. Nick says, pick one, Alicia, Marshawn Lloyd or Rojo. You know who she's picking.
You're the hero, man. I'm smitten.
She's picking Marshawn Lloyd. I will take Rojo forever, yeah. Of course.
To be fair, Rojo did against teams that we legitimately know are good teams, like Marshawn Lloyd. We'll see what he does against the better competition, but I'm on board.
Richard says ASU hasn't scored in 99 minutes and 53 seconds. How high do you think that number can go? Oh boy.
You want to know my honest opinion? I honestly think that there is a non-0% chance that they go down the field and just score on the first drive against USC because it's the most improbable, but it's funny. Yeah, but USC should be looking to, at the very least, USC should be looking to shut them out in the first half. Defensively, like, to prove, again, to continue to prove themselves, to show that they have improved, that they have taken things on, they should be looking to shut them out in the first half at least.
Yeah, I agree. I said that National Burger Day was Cheeseburger Day was tomorrow. Irvine Cattle Ranch says Talk Like a Pirate Day is tomorrow. And then Cigar says, what kind of burger do you get on National Burger Day? It's a cheeseburger, no tomato, no lettuce, yes to onions, add mustard. For me, that's it. You almost had this. You said it's a cheeseburger. Yes.
Yes.
You said no tomato and no lettuce. Yes, yes. You're doing so good. You're doing so good. I'm proud of you. Then where the hell did you go wrong with this yes to onions and add mustard BS? What are we doing here, man? What are we doing? Onions? Horrible. Onions don't belong in anything. Mustard? A crime to humanity. Both of those. No. Best burger, cheese, mayo only, dip it in ketchup. There you go. Thank me later.
So here's the thing.
Oh, buckle up. Everyone who says I have bad food takes, buckle up. You're going to enjoy this.
Here's the thing. I agree with Michael.
Yeah, say it louder. Say it louder for me. Say it again.
I agree with Michael.
Oh, God, that's beautiful.
Not to say that I don't enjoy a gourmet burger with stuff on it. Like, I love a burger with grilled onions and mushrooms and like an aioli and all sorts of other random onion straws and blah 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 blah, all that kind of stuff. Love it. But when it comes down to it, the best burger is just the good ground beef, well seasoned, with a slice of not American cheese and some mayo and some ketchup.
I see what you're saying, but I think you need to embrace American cheese because in a lot of ways, the perfect cheeseburger is American cheese. It melts so perfectly. It fits so nicely. I agree that like a nice cheddar is great. Jack cheese on a burger. Big fan of that too. But But American cheese is just so quintessentially American, baby.
Nick in the chat says, dude, onions are the gateway to a proper palate. You tripping, bro.
No.
Now, when I say I agree with Michael, it's about the perfect burger. Onions are, I agree. Nick, you are right. Like, onions as a flavoring are absolutely essential. Like, I love putting onion powder in things. I love onions on top of things. I love caramelized onions. I've even come around on raw onions, like on a In-N-Out burger. I've sort of come around to. So yes, onions, 100%. We are in agreement there.
So we got a comment from Tim in LA that says, "Where's the old Michael was right soundbite?" Hold on. I've had the iPad, little inside baseball, that I've been connecting to our new soundboard, our new mixer. And I've not been using it that much because there's like this weird delay and there's a weird noise gate thing that sort of gets annoying. So I have been doing it, but I disconnected it. Here, hold on. Where is it? Where's LA Fred saying that Michael was right? It's... Hold on. Stall for me.
Nick in the chat asks, over under ASU at 13.5 points. It should be under. If it's not, then USC's defense has done something wrong. Cigar in the chat says, how about onion rings from the hat? Stuff of lore? Legendary. Ooh. Have I had onion rings from the hat? I don't know that I've had onion rings at the hat. So that's maybe something that I need to put on.
Michael was right.
There's the thing. Yeah. What was that about? Was that about ASU? God.
My God, Ben Griffiths.
We need like a my God, Marshawn Lloyd.
we do.
Size doesn't necessarily matter if you want it hard enough.
Yeah, so.
Dom Davis. All right,
let's get rid of the podcast. We've gone long enough.
Cameron asked if the Cubs will make the postseason.
No, because the baseball season's over, and I do not care. I've never cared about baseball personally. I'm just not interested in that kind of thing, and I don't know why anyone else is. True, too. So, yeah, we'll see you Wednesday.
See ya.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.